credit for not appearing.
That's all I got.
That's weird.
I know.
Case number 4, 23-278. Morning, counsel. Morning.
Morning.
Okay. Sergeant, please identify yourself for the record.
Sergeant Elias Martz, M-A-R-T-Z, Middletown Police Department.
And Attorney Sherman for the record.
Ralph Sherman, representing the appellant.
Okay, Sergeant, would you like to make an opening statement?
Yes. In this case, the background investigation revealed that the appellant was a suspect in a robbery assault, as well as cases involving use of marijuana, which challenged the appellant's suitability. Furthermore, this information was discovered during the background investigation and involved the use of another name which was not disclosed on the DPS 799C. Given that the appellant withheld the use of a different name under which police interactions were documented, and the resulting proven inaccuracy on the DPS 799C, the appellant was also denied for this reason.
Attorney Sherman, would you like to make an opening statement?
I'll pass, thank you.
Okay, Sergeant, it's your case.
So the DPS 799C, begins with the name of the applicant, under which the applicant listed his legal name, which I'm not going to mention, and then referring to the appellant as the appellant. It lists his legal first name, then a middle initial, then the last name. The DPS 799C then states, provide all other names by which you have been known, maiden name, aliases, nicknames, etc. The appellant left this area blank. This was an omission, given that the appellant identified himself to police on more than one occasion using his given middle name as his first name. DPS 799C also later states, I further understand that any statement in this application that is determined to be false or inaccurate shall constitute grounds for denial of such application. Our investigation determined the information provided was inaccurate. The appellant was shown, when the appellant was shown to be the suspect in a robbery assault documented under Middletown Police case number 16-09113. When questioned by the investigator regarding the omission of the appellant's other name, the appellant stated only that it was simpler for people to say, so he sometimes used it. This is an admission that the appellant used another name which was not provided on the 799C. So, based on the totality of this, the fact that the appellant was a suspect in a robbery assault, which was a very serious case, as well as the appellant having been a suspect, also withholding that name from the 799C, and been a part of that investigation, having provided that name during that investigation, made the appellant not seem to be a suitable candidate for a pistol permit.
Thank you, Sergeant Cross.
Thank you. Sergeant, are you the officer who processed this application?
I was not the investigating officer, no.
Okay. Are you familiar with the procedure of the police department in processing these applications?
Yes.
You are? Okay. Wouldn't it be normal part of your procedure in processing these applications to make sure that the application form is signed?
Yes.
Okay. Wouldn't it be normal to check to see if the signature looked something like the name of the person, like it was the right signature of the right person.
That would depend on the signature, a lot of signatures are difficult to decipher.
Well, don't, but wouldn't it be normal to look at it and make that consideration, whether it's legible or not?
I don't know if a signature comparison is part of the standard.
Okay. Wouldn't it be normal to take a look at the line down below the signature where it says print name to see if that's the right name?
So you're referring to the DPS 799C, correct?
I am, sir, yes.
So
wouldn't it be normal procedure for the Middletown Police to check where it says print name to make sure that that name is the name that is on the page 2 of the application form?
Yes, and in regard to the signature, sorry, relooking at the form, it's a notarized form, so it's incumbent upon the notary to make sure that the person signing it was identified and provide.
Okay, but that's not what I asked.
At the time of the signature.
Wouldn't it be normal for the Middletown Police to look at the line where it says print name on page 4?
Yes.
Okay. And doesn't it say on that line a first name, a middle name, and a last name on this particular form, in this case?
Yes.
And in fact, isn't it written twice, once in handwriting that's a little hard to make out, and once in handwriting that seems very clear to make out?
There's one instance where it seems fairly clear.
Okay. Excuse me. And that's the way, I'm looking at the document that you submitted in your packet, that's the way that the application was received by the Middletown Police Department, right?
Yes.
Okay. But it's your claim that the appellant did not disclose his middle name?
No, that is not what I said.
Okay. I'm going to call your attention to another document that you submitted in your packet. The heading on it is Middletown Police Department Fiscal Permit Application Checklist. And about a third of the way down the page says application information, and there's a section of about 10 lines with a big bracket at the left, like they're all part of one section. You see what I'm talking about?
Yes.
Now, is that section something that normally the applicant would complete? It certainly looks like his handwriting, doesn't it?
I'm not qualified to say whose handwriting it is, but it commonly would be filled out by the applicant, yes.
Okay. And, excuse me, I see that it has blanks last name, and that's completed with the correct name, and first, and that's completed with the correct name, and middle, that's also completed. Is that
yes.
correct? Okay. And that was submitted as part of the appellant's application to the Middletown Police, right?
Yes.
Okay. I'm going to call your attention to another form from the Middletown Police Department. It looks like it's on letterhead, Middletown Police Department. About a third of the way down, it says authorization for release of information. You see the form that I'm talking about? It was in your packet that you submitted to the board.
Yeah, I just need a moment to find it. I have mm-hmm. a lot of forms that were submitted.
Mm-hmm. Looks like this. The letterhead at the top, at least in the version that I have, is kind of faint. Looks like police department letterhead. It was in my packet, which I think was in the order you submitted. It was something like page 8 or 10.
It was right after that checklist. In our packet, anyways.
Yes.
Oh, I see. Came out faint in mine because it was blue. Okay. So you see the form I'm talking about, right?
Yes.
Okay, and it says, it looks like the blank form would say I, comma, blank, and name has to go in there. Is that correct?
Yes.
And that would be completed by the applicant, correct?
Yes.
And wasn't it completed by the applicant in this case? Looks like it's handwriting.
Yes.
Okay. And doesn't that include a first name, a middle name, and a last name?
It appears to, yes.
Okay. Thank you. I also want to call your attention to one other point. Another document that you submitted, it looks like an incident report form. It looks like this was done in connection with processing the applications from Officer DeFranzo, incident date 5/19/2022. And I'm looking at several pages. I'm looking at page 5, which is the end page of it. DeFranzo, I apologize.
Yeah.
Okay, so doesn't it say on this report by Officer DeFranzo, I, Officer DeFranzo, has found no disqualifying information to prohibit, we'll just say the appellant, from attaining a temporary pistol permit?
Yes, it does say that.
Thank you. And isn't it true that the appellant has no criminal record? Let me rephrase the question to make it absolutely clear. Isn't it true that the appellant has no record of criminal convictions?
Yes.
And that would be true in this state or anywhere else, to the best of your knowledge, right?
To the best of my knowledge, yes.
Okay. And so you mentioned he was a suspect in some case. That was 8 years ago, correct?
2016, yes.
8 years ago. No arrest was made, is that correct?
Correct.
Okay, so the appellant was not even arrested in that case. Okay. To be a suspect, all it takes is somebody has to say, I think he did it, right? Doesn't really prove anything, right? If somebody says, I think Ralph Sherman did it, Ralph Sherman's a suspect,
in
right?
In regard to being a suspect in general,
yes.
That's very different than the specifics of this case, which was submitted to the board.
Okay, but you haven't presented any details about this case, so I'm just asking you in general, if somebody says, I think Ralph Sherman stole my money,
incorrect.
Doesn't that make Ralph Sherman a suspect?
If someone says that you stole their money,
mm-hmm.
Yes, then
you would be a suspect. Okay, thank you. Okay. You said that the appellant identified himself to police officers by his middle name, right? That was your testimony, right?
No.
Okay.
So I said that the appellant identified himself to police in that investigation using his middle name as his first name. That is my understanding.
That's your understanding how? Were you involved in the investigation?
I do not believe I was involved. I would have to double check the records. not believe I was involved in the investigation directly, no.
Okay. Isn't it true, Sergeant, that the Middletown Police, in their notes and reports, have used the appellant's middle name themselves because they had difficulty with his first name?
I don't believe so, no.
I want to call your attention to another document you submitted to the board. This one says incident detail report. It's a portrait orientation. It says incident detail report harassment. Incident 19-3459. It's one of the later pages in the packet, like maybe 15 pages from the end in the packet that you submitted. And it starts off incident narrative on Saturday, 12/21/2019. You see the document I'm talking about?
Case number 19-34598.
Right. And
yes.
It starts off on Saturday, 12/21/2019. You have that?
Yes.
Okay. I'm going to call your attention to the first sentence of the second paragraph. And we're not going to use names, of course, but doesn't it say the complainant, comma, and then there's a first name, a middle initial, and a last name, correct?
Yes.
Okay. And the middle initial and the last name match up with this appellant, right?
There appears to be a typo.
A typo? I asked you about the middle initial and the last name.
Oh, sorry. The middle initial and last name?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Those are correct, right? And what do you mean by a typo?
Typo in the first name and
his first
spelling
name.
There, yes.
Yeah, his first name is quite misspelled, isn't it? I mean, it's got letters that don't belong in his first name, and there are other letters missing, right?
There's, I believe, a typo of one letter.
I think it's more than one letter. Would you say if you were to pronounce...
Particulars, yeah. It appears to be that one letter was typed incorrectly.
Oh, I think it's more than one, sir. I think you're demonstrating how the Middletown Police have difficulty with this first name.
Well, I would direct you to page one of that report where the name is correctly listed as
uh-huh.
the first name of the appellant.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And it appears to be a typo in the narrative, yes. Mm.
That typo, that isn't even phonetically correct, right? If you were to sound that out, it doesn't even sound the same as his name spelled correctly, right?
It is.
There's an extra consonant in
there. It's a spelling error, yes.
Yeah.
His first name.
Okay.
Which is listed correctly on the first page, which includes all demographic information for that case.
Thank you. I have nothing further.
Does the board have any questions for the sergeant?
Sorry. Just what... Like, what documentation, what evidence is there that the appellant has consciously used his middle name
so
in interactions with the police in which...
In this case...
Well, I know what... I can see what the cases are, but what is the... Like, is this... It could be written in there from the police officer decided to use that. Is there documentation or any... You know, could you point me to a place in which the appellant... You know, consciously used his middle name in either conversations with, and you know, attempt to.
So,
in a manner in which it's to.
This case was serious.
No.
And the appellant was listed by a different first name in this case.
Well, I know, but is that
from the DPS 799?
I know. Is that from the officer? You know, I'm just saying, usually if it's a serious case, wouldn't...
The identification of the appellant throughout this report was by that other name, including communication with the appellant's mother as well as the appellant.
Again, but is that the officer just using that from, you know, the initial complaint? Or is that from, this is how the appellant identified himself to the police officer?
So... I don't know. I can't answer that directly. What I can say is the investigation of the pistol permit was done and the follow-up question was asked.
Yep.
The answer was, I sometimes use that other name because it's easier. So if he knew that he sometimes used that other name, then it may have been used when he was investigated as a suspect of a robbery assault, the outcome of which...
Well, there was no arrest.
Was of a serious nature. There was no arrest, but...
But I think in that...
Part of that was...
Also, though, wasn't the, didn't the complainant...
The complainant...
Use the middle name initially?
The complainant identified the suspect by that name.
Yep, and that's how it ran through the rest of the report.
In fear of also being arrested for their involvement, withdrew their decision to have charges filed, which does not exonerate the suspect in the case from having committed those acts. It simply says that they didn't want to press charges. So
I'm just trying to figure out where...
Independent of the issuing authority, it was still a serious case, and the suspect still was...
I'm just trying to get where the complainant consciously used his middle name in either attempt to deceive the police, or even provided that as a different name.
I don't know that in 2016 that was provided, but that was how the appellant was identified in 2016.
But is that
the appellant, knowing that they often and commonly would go by that other name, should have listed it on the DPS? In the opinion of the issuing authority.
Didn't he list it on the application right on page 4?
Yeah.
It's right there.
Yeah.
As a middle name, not as a first name.
Did he submit his driver's license as well? I mean, it's not too much of a jump to figure that out. Am I missing something? I don't understand that part.
It's the opinion of the issuing authority that all other names, such as maiden names, aliases, nicknames, or if you were to use a middle name as a first name, should be listed in that section. And in the initial search, and as highlighted by Attorney Sherman...
That's not what the application says. It says maiden name, aliases, and nicknames. It doesn't say middle names. So he should just assume that he has to list that middle name as another...
In the issuing authority, if you're going to report your middle name to be your first name in given situations, we thought it should be listed there. Additionally...
Well, I guess it just circles back to
the investigation, as pointed out by Attorney Sherman, that the initial investigation by Officer DeFonso did not show anything, and it was later determined in a subsequent further search that there were concerning past instances when the other name was searched in our system. Searched by the first name provided, this report didn't come up. But it's a report in which the appellant was the suspect of a robbery assault in which the victim received, I believe it was 8 stitches to his face. It was a serious case.
Well, I get that, but just, I guess that gets right back to the colonel's question, which was how does Middletown have any evidence in the record that it was the appellant who was using the middle name to identify himself, or was it simply Middletown was using the middle name to identify him? But we have to assume that the appellant doesn't just have all these reports on his desk and knows that this is how his name is written up in Middletown's records. I guess we just don't know is the answer to the colonel's question.
I don't know how the appellant would have purported their first name to have been in 2016. I know that our initial search of our in-house records didn't turn up this record, which is why there's a supplement that there was nothing disqualifying, which was later overturned by subsequent investigation, which turned up the report of a serious nature. And when looking at the DPS 799C, it was our opinion, which your opinion may differ, but it was our opinion that that name should have been listed as having been used as a potential other first name, given that his answer was, I sometimes use that name.
What led Middletown to do the second search? Why did that even come up?
Offhand, I'm not sure. I could review. I believe there was an additional supplement that was needed. So the initial investigating officer then completed a second supplement, indicating simply that it was discovered that the appellant used the middle name as the first name. And subsequent searches came up with additional cases, two of which were concerning. One of which was the robbery assault case in question.
So it's really just not clear what stimulated the second search.
I'm not sure.
Oh, okay, thanks.
But so I understand, since it's your position that he was, in fact, never arrested, never convicted of anything, so that's truthful.
That is true.
That part's truthful.
Yes.
So there's nothing about on the application where he's being untruthful. About whether he's been...
It was the opinion of the issuing authority that it was untruthful and that the use of a first name as a middle name should have been included as an alias or nickname.
Okay. And
that was the opinion of the issuing authority.
And is it your position that the underlying conduct involving him being a suspect in some other crime in 2016 is also a grounds for denying
the
permit?
Yes, that was definitely a suitability factor. The fact that an arrest was not made was due largely to the fact that the victim decided not to press charges, not due to the fact that the suspect was ruled out as having committed that crime.
Thank you.
But I got to say, you didn't present any evidence about that case.
I presented the entire report from that case.
I understand, but this is on the record and recorded, and if you were going to present the case and the suspects or the appellant's involvement, you should bring it up at the hearing, not just depend on it being buried in a report somewhere.
Yes, I probably should have been more thorough rather than simply mentioning him as a suspect in the robbery assault, that he was identified as a suspect, and I should have...
Yeah, I think someone's getting to that. Are you going to present the nature and circumstances of the events involved?
Yes, I should probably.
Would lead to a determination of the suitability. Or not. You don't have to. If the only thing is the misrepresentation or the allegation that he was representing his name.
The crux of the case is that the misrepresentation hid two involvements which became suitability factors, which were presented, and I should have done a better job presenting them. I could present them now.
Are there other Middletown cases where the middle name was used that were not criminal in nature?
Yes, the case 16-14623.
I think the allegation, or I think you were saying that this was a serious case, or these two, I'm not exactly sure. And by not giving that name, he was intentionally trying to hide the fact that he had been involved in these cases. And that's, I think that's what you're trying to show.
Whether it was
right,
whether it was intentional or not, it was an omission that hampered the investigation. And we believed it should have been put on. So to go back in time to 2016, I can't say that intentionally.
No, I meant now, when he filled out the application, you're saying he didn't put that down so as to hide previous law enforcement contacts.
That's what it appeared when we did a second search, and that's when the other, that's when the cases that were suitability factors came up, yes.
And he gave the correct last name and date of birth?
Yes.
I don't see how that wouldn't show up in, when you search that. Even if you put the wrong first name in there, the last name and date of birth would come up.
There are multiple ways to search the system, and unless all search parameters are put in, then. I didn't perform the search.
Yeah, I know, you don't know. I mean, neither do I. I'm trying to figure out how that could happen.
I can tell you that the profile reports are from our global computer system, and the ones that are in a landscape format, the newer, are from the next-gen system, and the global system did have pretty serious search failings. A common one would be you could type in that an incident took place in Washington Road, and Washington Street would not come up. It had some search failings, so.
Yeah, I was thinking next gen would probably hit that by last name and certain by date of birth.
And these reports from 2016 weren't necessarily in that system. If allowed, I would like to present these cases, as I, that was an oversight on my part. As submitted, case 16-14623. Page 1 identifies the suspect with the first name showing as the, it lists involvement as suspect. The appellant is listed here, the middle name in the first name category on page 1. The narrative of this report states that the officer arrived for a dispute, which was categorized as a domestic dispute. Reads, on arrival, I spoke with the mother, who I'm not identified. She explained that her son had become extremely agitated when she took a game system away as punishment for not doing chores. There was no claim of physical violence. I then spoke with her son, and then it is identified by middle name as first name in this report as well. The mother then went on to explain that.
Is it possible the mother gave the middle name as a first name?
It is possible, yes. It doesn't iterate that, but it's just a second instance of the middle name being used as a first name. It then goes on to explain that, in the mother's own words, the appellant has emotional issues that manifest themselves in bursts, in outbursts of anger. She told me that he had just started seeking medical help for his behavior. I then spoke further with the appellant named as first name, middle name as first name. He said that he wanted to go to the hospital so that he could talk to someone, and was voluntarily transported to the hospital. So this report was a suitability issue that, again, was with the appellant's middle name used as a first name.
How old was the appellant in that case?
Eighteen
years of age.
Okay, thank
you. So then, to bring back to the robbery assault, since this has been brought into question by Attorney Sherman as well as the board, as far as what the suspects. But the appellant's involvement was as a suspect in this case, whether it was simply that he was around or was mentioned. The report was presented. So the injuries to the victim that were documented, fairly serious. So on page 4 of 8, while at the hospital, juvenile number 1/victim was given 8 stitches above the right eye. below the eyebrow. And the juvenile's mother was concerned there would be a retaliation from this incident.
What page are you on there, sir?
Page 4 of 8, the top, just detailing the injuries.
What's the case number, please?
16-09113.
Is it incident?
I have page 4 of 6.
Well, there's narrative and there's incident. There's the pages in the middle and the pages on the right side. So four of eight would be incident page, which is on the right.
Narrative 2 of 6.
It looks like this.
Thank you.
Ah, yes. So it would be narrative page 2 of 6, incident page 4 of 6. Apologies.
Oh, I see.
At the top, there's
a
paragraph just detailing injuries. I'm just highlighting that to speak to the severity of the injury in this case. 8 stitches above someone's eye, in my opinion, is serious assault and potentially robbery that took place here. The circumstances of the case, victims, so I'm now on narrative page 1 of 6, incident page 3 of 8. Victim stated he was at his friend's house approximately 1600 hours. Short time later, she decided to walk to a convenience store in Cromwell while walking. But before leaving the condominium grounds, juvenile 1 slash victim and witness 1 were met by 3 other males. 2 of the males were known to witness number 1. After a short time, they parted ways and continued to be in the store alone. After they returned to the apartment complex, 3 males had a 4th male with them. All 6 males were hanging out on the back patio. 1 male began asking the victim for his cell phone, and been paying much attention to him, except that did not feel comfortable around him. Told witness number 1 of his discomfort being around him and his associates. This person continued asking for his phone. The victim knew he had 2 phones and thought that he wanted to steal the phone. Each time he was able to paraphrase in the interest of time here. Juvenile victim 1 was sitting on a chair in the patio area listening on off the conversation around him, could not recall the details of the conversation, he was not paying much attention. The victim recalled the appellant here identified with the middle name as the first name standing in front of him for a while. Next thing he felt was getting punched above the right eye. Victim juvenile 1 stated he was punched 2 or 3 times by the appellant. Victim juvenile 1 immediately put his hands up to protect his face and crouched back in his chair to avoid additional punches. Witness number 1 stepped up and got between juvenile number 1, the victim, and Tate. An appellant. As juvenile number 1, the victim made his way to the sliding door that leads inside the condominium. He felt 2 hands reach in the pocket of his front pants. Juvenile number 1, the victim, then felt his cell phone being removed from his left pants pocket. Juvenile number 1, the victim, turned and reached back, grabbed onto the phone, which fell back into the pocket, then proceeded to the bathroom to look at his face in the mirror. During that time, witness number 1 got the appellant and other parties to leave the residence. Victim juvenile 1 then called the mother, who came to transport him to the hospital.
So the allegation is
the summary.
The appellant punched the juvenile number 1. Is that the allegation?
There were 2 people there, one of whom continually was asking this person to use his phone, and he thought it was because he was going to try to steal the phone. And he was very uncomfortable in this situation, after which he then was punched multiple times in the face by the appellant, who he identified. And then someone tried to take his phone, which he was somehow able to grab and get back, and the medical evaluation and treatment required 8 stitches. The reason that the investigation did not lead to an arrest, the best that I can tell, is that the victim withdrew their decision to press charges. not exoneration of the suspect in this case, who's the appellant. So this was of a serious nature. It was listed in the appellant's middle name being used as the first name, which was then not listed on the DPS 799C, which appeared to us to be an inaccuracy.
How old was the appellant then?
The appellant was 18 at the time of the incident.
I think 17.
The incident was reported, I believe, on April 15th of 2016.
It was reported in November.
Of
what year?
1997. November 21st, 1997.
So I did.
Happy birthday.
Yes. Unless my math is wrong, that's still, I'm coming up with 18.
You're right, 18
at that time. I don't have it listed as a juvenile on the report, and I believe it runs up at 18.
Was that it?
Yes, that's it.
Attorney Sherman, would you like to re-cross-examine based on the new testimony?
Yes, please, also based on the board's question.
Yep.
Twice, Sergeant, you have stated, as recently as about a minute and a half ago, that the appellant omitted his middle name from the DPS 799C.
Sorry.
But that isn't true, right?
Correct.
Okay.
That was a misstatement.
He did put his middle name on the form, right?
His middle name was, in fact, listed on the DPS 799C.
And on two other forms made up by the Middletown Police Department for the application process, right?
His middle name was listed on the forms that were presented to the Middletown Police Department. Yes.
Okay, thank you. You know, I just took a look at my driver's license because I think driver's licenses in this state have had middle names on them for years now. Mine's on my driver's license. Isn't his on his driver's license?
So my contention is not that the middle name was not listed.
No, would you please answer my question? That's not the question I asked. Isn't his middle name on his driver's license?
I would have to check myself if there's a copy of his driver's license that was submitted with the packet.
Okay.
But I would believe so. They generally are.
The fact that there were 8 stitches to a victim who was punched, that doesn't prove that the appellant punched him, right?
So to your earlier question, yes, his middle name is listed on the copy I have of his driver's license.
So you do have his driver's license, too, with his middle name on it. Thank you.
Okay. Yes, we do.
All right.
I'm sorry, repeat your next question again, please.
8 stitches on a victim who was punched, that doesn't prove that the appellant punched him, right?
Correct, that is the severity of the injury.
Okay, we can't try that assault case here. You don't have any witnesses, right?
Correct, I have.
You have a report from 8 years ago?
Yes.
Okay, that quotes a bunch of unnamed people, witness number 1 and witness number 2 and so on. But none of those people are here, right?
So they're not unnamed is being anonymous. They're unnamed due to the nature of the report and the fact that as a juvenile, they are identified persons.
All right, but they're unnamed in the report.
None of those witnesses are present today, that is correct.
Okay. And under our Constitution of the United States, this gentleman is presumed innocent until proven guilty beyond a reasonable doubt when it comes to a criminal charge, right?
Yes.
Thank you. But nothing further, thank you.
Does the board have questions after Attorney Sherman's cross? I don't know if this question, I'll just make note of this, Sergeant. It looks like the victim in the assault from 2016 was a juvenile, had some concerns with the police looking at his phone and wanted to talk to his lawyer before giving that up.
So my understanding is that the victim in the case misrepresented what happened just prior to this incident occurring, which was most likely the purchase of marijuana, which at the time, I believe, was still a misdemeanor offense, and the victim was afraid of being prosecuted for that offense and therefore withdrew charges, the desire to press charges for the assault. However, in the opinion of our department, that didn't remove this as, it didn't remove the suspect in the case from their involvement, and that involvement, in our opinion, was a suitability issue.
Okay.
Even though it was not a conviction or an arrest hadn't been made, it's still a suitability factor in our opinion.
Okay. Other witnesses, Sergeant?
I do not have witnesses.
Okay. Attorney Sherin?
Thank you. I'd like to call the appellant, please.
Okay.
With Stella Board, as of today, how old are you right now, please?
Freshly today, 27.
Today's your birthday, right?
Yes.
Okay. Please speak up. It's hard to hear.
Sorry.
You know, there's a blower going and it's far to the table. Okay. And do you work?
Yes.
What do you do?
I currently work for the State of Connecticut Department of Developmental Services as a DSW-1.
What does that mean in plain English? What do you do?
I help individuals with intellectual disabilities integrate into society and help with acts of daily living.
That's a full-time job?
Yes.
How long have you been in your present position?
I've been presently working with the State of Connecticut going on almost 2 years, but I've been in the private sector doing this field, also having interactions with Middletown Police in this field for about almost 5 to 6.
Okay, so I want to make sure it's clear. So you've been working for the State of Connecticut 2 years, but previously you worked for one or more private businesses doing the same type of work?
Yes.
Okay. And that was all full time?
Yes.
So you've been doing this type of work about 5 or 6 years total?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you. And you do still reside in Middletown, right?
Yes.
Okay. I want to ask you a few questions. Oh, do you have your driver's license here? Does it have your middle name on it?
Yes.
Okay. I guess that the officer did testify to that fact. Thank you. When you completed the 4-page application form, were you trying to fool the police about your name?
No. I felt more or less like I've been going across my by Joshua Tate my whole life. I try to have interactions with, like, say, for instance, my job, where they have come to me and they ask me, I say, hey, my name's Mumbai Joshua Tate, and they'll be like, can we call you Josh? And I'm like, if you want to, but my name is Mumbai Joshua Tate. So they'll go further and then call me Joshua because they feel it's easier to say Joshua than Mumbai.
And have the Middletown police told you that, and you don't have to use your name, by the way, have the Middletown police told you that they like to call you by your middle name because it's easier for them?
Yes.
And did you ever give your middle name to the Middletown police in an effort to deceive them in some way?
No. I actually went further, and once I learned that the case was denied, to try to bring documents and court documents to prove that I was not deceiving.
So at work, you're known by your first name,
yes,
as it appears on your driver's license, and as you put it on the application form, correct?
Yes.
Okay.
I even have a badge from my job that will even prove that I don't use Josh at all. My State of Connecticut employee badge right here says Mumbai Tate.
So it does. I don't know if the board members can see it.
I can see, even though I have terrible vision.
Okay. There it is. So this is your work badge?
Yes.
From Department of Developmental Services. Okay. Thank you. You heard testimony from a report from 2016 in which the sergeant said that you were a suspect in an assault or a robbery or something. Would you tell the board, were you involved in that case?
I remember getting approached at school by Middletown Police. They asked me what I was doing that day. I told them I was with a couple of friends, went to Wendy's, Then we went to Friendly's, and then after that, pretty much went ways. I went back home.
Some kid got punched and got stitches. Were you there when that happened?
No.
Did you find out about that when the police were asking you?
Yes.
Did you know about it before then?
No.
Did you have the person who got the stitches, are you aware of who that person was?
No.
You don't even know that person?
I don't.
Do you think you might have any mutual acquaintances?
Maybe within that friend group, but me personally, I do not know that person.
Okay, thank you. I really have nothing else, thank you.
Sergeant, do you have any questions?
So your answer in regard to the incident that took place in 2016 is that you were not there?
I said that.
Or am I incorrect?
Sorry. For the instance of where you say violence occurred, I was not there. I was there with the friends group. We went to places like Friendly's, we went to Wendy's, and then after that, once we got to Westlake, we parted ways. I don't know what further goes on after that, after we part ways.
So you were there prior to the incident taking place?
Yes. People meet up after school.
You don't know why the victim in the case would have identified you as being the person who struck him?
Probably because he was in that group, but I don't personally know him, and I personally did not know the situation until Middletown Police came to Weir and asked me.
Okay.
And then I never had an interaction at all with Middletown Police for tomorrow at all. If anything, I remember recently, in the last 2 years or a year ago, getting a lot of calls from Middletown Police to help assist with my field of work, which is covered by the reports as well.
Okay. And you testified that the Middletown Police Department has referred to you using your middle name as your first name in the past?
Yes, because I have told them, I have shown them my ID.
Okay, let me stop you there. The entirety of the Middletown Police Department, or one given officer in the Middletown Police Department?
One given officer. Who's this one given officer?
That's my question to you.
Anytime Middletown Police has had an interaction with me, I've usually always given up my driver's license, which always has my name on it. And then I tell them, my name is Mumbai Joshua Tate.
Okay.
And then they'll say, hey, can I refer to you as Josh to make things simpler? And I say yes, because I am trying to help. I'm not trying to deceive.
Okay. Thank you. That's all the questions I have.
Support, have questions?
I have one. I just want to get it clear and on the record. Did you strike the person that was mentioned in the report?
No.
And you understand that in this, you're under oath here, and that is a material fact in this case, meaning we're going to base a judgment on that, okay? I just want to be very clear that you have every opportunity to say you did or didn't, and it's just a truthful answer.
I did not strike him.
Okay. And were you there when he was struck?
No.
Okay, thank you.
I was going to ask exactly the same question. Thank you.
But you do know who the victim was?
No. All I know is I met with my friend, Eric Outlaw, Nathan Vasquez. We attend the same school, we ride the same bus. I'm familiar with Carter Peck. He's a part of the Friends group, but the other guy, no. I remember we all just went up to Friendly's. We all went to Wendy's to eat some food, chat about the day, and then once we went back to Westlake, I went straight home.
The report on page... Four of six, if I could just ask, four of six, council. This is when Middletown is speaking to you. It says you state you remember the day that the interviewer was asking about. You were hanging out with witness one, witness two, Eric Outlaw, and juvenile victim, juvenile number one victim. So to me, that indicates you know who the victim is. Four of six.
I know Eric Outlaw, yes, but I do not know the victim at all. I don't even really even know the victim's name. So that's why I can't even really say I know the victim, because I don't even know the victim's name.
Would you know the victim if you saw him?
No.
You never saw somebody with, like, stitches after that?
No. I think I would have been charged by something of that nature.
No, I was just curious why the report, if you know why the report says that you were hanging out with these four people.
I had issues with that friends group prior leaving that friends group because I have a strict curfew growing up. I follow the rules in my household. And my mom did not want me associating with these individuals, so I did not really engage with these individuals, more or less, as hard as school. So after school, you would hang out, get dropped off, but pretty much dip ways.
And then, still on the same page, counsel, it says that after that, the third paragraph down, it says you went with the victim, a witness, to the ATM machine. So it just seems like this whole time you know who the victim is.
I'm sorry, I think it says he stated at some point that the victim and another person went to an ATM.
Right, but I'm just wondering how he would say that if he doesn't know who that is.
I don't know the name of, say, person. I know Eric Outlaw, which is you're describing in there, right?
Well, I'm not describing Eric Outlaw because he would not be juvenile number one.
Juvenile one.
That's the victim. Juvenile number one is
and
the victim.
Witness one?
They're different people. I don't know.
That's
and
what
you,
I'm
you
trying
know.
To I'm trying to figure this is so ridiculous.
Witness one was also a juvenile at the time, and therefore their information cannot be disclosed.
Right. So to me, it just indicates.
I might have witnessed my friend going with him to the ATM, but after that, I wouldn't say, hey, I know him as my friend. I don't know him.
So maybe it's possible you just know who these people are and you don't know who they are because their names aren't there.
I know possibly witness one.
Okay.
That's why I'm saying, hey, I know witness one such and such. But after that, like I said, you can see right here, I said, I know about such and such. And then I left the area. I went home.
I think I see what you're saying.
I really don't know what goes on after that.
You don't know them as juvenile number one victim. Okay.
Yeah, okay.
That makes sense to me. Any other questions? Okay. Other witnesses?
No, thank you.
Okay. Would you like to make a closing statement, Attorney Sherman?
Yes. Thank you. The assault case, I understand, can be troubling, but the fact of the matter is we can't be trying an 8-year-old assault case here with no witnesses, based on what it says in a report. We've already seen problems with some of the reports in this case. I just think that's utterly spurious. What really happened here is their system failed. I order record checks from the state police probably about one a day. I'm one of their best customers, okay? And I can put in John Q. Smith, and they'll give me Quincy Smith. In addition to, all kinds of stuff will come up, okay? Something went wrong with their system, the sergeant admitted it, and then, now they're putting it on him because he didn't put down his middle name as an alias. It makes no sense. His middle name was on the form, on other forms that they made up that they like to use. He wasn't trying to hide anything. I think it's a very interesting question, as Dr. Conrad raised, why did they go back and look again? And nobody knows. Nobody knows the answer to any of this stuff. He has no criminal record. I think the whole thing is absurd, quite frankly. He's a suitable person. Thank you.
Sergeant, would you like to make a closing statement?
Yes. Our investigation revealed suitability issues with this appellant, one of which was a domestic dispute which occurred in which the appellant's mother listed that he suffered from anger outbursts for which he was seeking psychiatric treatment, during which he voluntarily chose to go to the hospital, and another one in which the appellant was identified as a suspect in a robbery assault case, for which I admit the appellant was not arrested or convicted, but was identified as a suspect, and that is a suitability issue and concern for the issuing authority. The investigation was hampered by the name of the appellant, in so much as the appellant was listed in multiple Middletown police reports with the middle name being used as the first name. And that hampered our search. It was the opinion of the Middletown Police Department that the name being used in that other way should have been listed in the alias section, and that was an inaccuracy. So based on that totality, the appellant was denied. Whether the whether or not that was an inaccuracy, obviously we have debated, but the suitability factors still remain. Thank you.
Brief factual.
Sure. This is a denial by the Middletown Police Department. The denial is for suitability. The basis of the denial is, one, the appellant failed to list his middle name and last name on the application portion under aliases. Middletown Police Department believed, based on interactions with the appellant in the past, the appellant should have listed his middle name and last name as a name he had previously used. Middletown Police also brought up two suitability incidents, one 2016 case in which his mother called based on an argument and behavior with the appellant. The appellant voluntarily went to the hospital. Then in April 2016, the appellant was a suspect in an assault in which another juvenile was struck two or three times in the face, resulting in 8 stitches. The appellant was never arrested or charged in that case in any way. The appellant is a state employee, 27 years old, been working for the DDS for the last 2 years, and previously 3 years with a private company doing the same work with patients with disabilities. The appellant testified in front of the board that he was not involved in the assault, did not witness the assault, did not punch the victim, and that is consistent with statements he gave to the police in 2016.
Thank you. Comments by the board? No. Okay. Brain dead. Dr. Conrad.
For the appellant.
Attorney Sinetti.
Well, while the 2016 incident is troubling, the appellant has denied it in front of us under oath, And so, looking at the totality of the evidence in this case, I have to vote for the appellant.
Mr. Gray?
Appellant.
Colonel Overturf?
Appellant.
Colonel Lewis?
Appellant.
Chief Rosenzweig?
Appellant.
Chair votes appellant. Thank you all.
Thank you.